Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. The Gospel of the Lord. Over the last several days, and Jesus' instructions to the apostles before sending them out, in the parable of the sower and the seed on Sunday, in Jesus' castigation of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum yesterday, we've been talking about the theme of receptivity to God's word and his work and life, and the type of openness that he wishes to receive. Today, Jesus, immediately after speaking those strong words of conversion to the three towns where he had worked so many of his miracles, speaks directly about the receptivity he wants. It's supposed to be childlike receptivity. Jesus today gives three conditions for it, three ways for us to have that good and fruitful soil. The first is, it comes from Jesus. It's a grace. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Jesus wishes to reveal the Father to us. It's the greatest gift we'll ever have. It reminds us of who God is, who we are, and how we're supposed to grow in God's image and likeness. First way to have this type of openness that Jesus wants is to receive it as the gift that it is through Jesus the Son. The second aspect of it is we need to be childlike and not just in a generalized sense. We've got to enter into Jesus' own sonship in order to be able to understand the Father. Jesus makes a huge contrast in today's gospel between the wise and the learned, or the clever, and the truly childlike. The word that he uses for childlike here are non-speaking, almost we could say babbling children, so that their relationship with the Lord will be based on what the Lord says rather than their own vocabulary, their own conceptions, etc. We've got to be like really, really little children in order to be able to receive it. But really little children in Jesus, who trusts in the Father like Jesus trusts. This has to be developed. As we've talked about before, the essential sin is to say we don't need the Father. This was the sin of the first, or both sons, frankly, in the parable of the prodigal son. First, treated the dad as if he were already dead and wanted his inheritance now. I can do it on my own. I don't need you. Second son treated the father not as a dad, but as a master. Not once have I disobeyed your orders. There was no loving relationship there. Jesus has come to right that wrong, to help us to recognize that the Father's alive, not dead, and that the Father really deeply cares for us. He doesn't treat us like Allah, his Muslim servants, in a relationship of great fear, as in being afraid, not reverential awe. He treats us as the greatest dads and moms combined would ever be able to love their children times infinity. So that's the second aspect of this receptivity, to be able to approach God, who will only give us good things, sometimes the things that we don't want, because he knows it's going to bring about great good. But to approach him with that childlike trust that we see in Jesus, when Jesus on Calvary was entrusting himself to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane throughout his whole life. And the third aspect Jesus reveals, if we're going to have that good soil, is to receive it with joy. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will, Jesus exalts. St. Luke will make more explicit results in the Holy Spirit. If we're not receiving what God gives us, what he says to us, what he does in our life with joy, we're not receiving it nearly at its depth. We're just receiving it superficially. Just one of the reasons why Mother Teresa used to always teach her sisters about the spirit of their society. Loving trust, total surrender, and cheerfulness. If you didn't have cheerfulness, the loving trust wasn't going to be complete, nor the surrender. Because we've got to receive it as the incredible grace that it is. Jesus was able to rejoice even in the midst of his pains. St. Paul calls the church to rejoice even in sufferings. And that's the way we open ourselves up to receive what God gives us at the depth with which he wants to give it to us. Today in the first reading, we see the exact opposite of this type of childlike trust in the Assyrians. Here, we see foretold in language the destruction of the kingdom of Judah by the kingdom of Assyria. Because yesterday, as we saw, when Isaiah went to King Ahab and tried to say, don't form the alliance with Aram or with Israel or with Assyria, but trust in the Lord, the king refused. And he consecrated himself, we could say, to the Assyrians. The Assyrians will protect me. And so just like we see throughout salvation history, any time God's people does that, God allows them to be taken over by that very people to whom they have consecrated themselves. We'll see it with Hezekiah and the Babylonians, inviting the Babylonians in, and then you get the whole exile. So God allowed his people to learn this lesson, that it's really only in him that they're ever going to find salvation. But the Assyrians, who were God's instrument for the conversion of God's people, began to become arrogant, even though they were just an axe, a saw, a rod, or a staff of the divine artisan. They began to think that they were the rulers, putting their own thoughts into words. God tells us through Isaiah, they say, by my own power I have done it, by my wisdom I am shrewd. I have moved the boundaries of peoples, I've pillaged their treasures, and like a giant I have put down the enthroned. My hand has seized like a nest the riches of nations. As one takes eggs left alone, so I took in all the earth. And no one fluttered a wing or opened a mouth or chirped. It's the exact opposite of the childlikeness to which Jesus calls us, this arrogance. And Assyria, likewise, would be brought low. Today, we have a great example of someone who shows us how to live these words of the gospel. Great doctor of the church, follower of St. Francis, friend of Thomas Aquinas, St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure was young, was very scrupulous. He was focused on himself, like the scrupulous always are, rather than on God. And he was doing all sorts of penances, even though his future confessors wondered whether he had ever committed a mortal sin. He was obsessed with his state before God. He didn't approach God when he was young as a little child in need of God. He tried to assume all the responsibility for his own full conversion and consistently failed. But God gave him the grace of a conversion. And he spent the rest of his religious life and priesthood trying to help others to relate to God in this way. This morning, in the breviary from his itinerary into the very heart of God, he describes the childlike path in a series of paradoxes. I think it's one of the most eloquent spiritual writings in the whole church's treasury. We could spend whole retreats on it. But it highlights this difference between a childlike approach to God and a clever approach to God. Saint Bonaventure tells us that we approach God by seeking His grace, not doctrine. It's not that doctrine's bad, but oftentimes we can assimilate doctrine by our own hard work, and we can begin to think that we know. And we always start with that receptivity that everything's a gift. And the longing of the will, not of the understanding. It's a particularly Franciscan approach. But that God calls us to love one another as He loves us, not to know as God knows. So we start with that intense longing. In the size of prayer, not in research. That's where that longing starts to take flesh. Where we're not longing for learning. Prayer is not a classroom. We're seeking a person. The bridegroom, not the teacher. Again, this real spousal commitment to receive love and return it. God and not man. So again, totally dependent on the supernatural. Darkness, not daylight. This might be the hardest of all seven of these paradoxes. That there's going to be so much that we don't know. But that's okay, because we trust in the one who does know. And look not to the light, but rather to the raging fire that carries the soul to God with intense fervor and glowing love. What does that mean? The raging fire is the Holy Spirit. We look to God, who makes it possible to go to God with glowing love and intense fervor. We seek divine means. That's the path of full stature in Christ. By paradoxically remaining as much a little child as Teresa is you. And the place that we imitate this gospel and put it into practice is right here at Mass. It's where we say, "Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will," as we do what He commands. This is where we praise the Father, the Lord in heaven and earth. And that Greek there is actually, "I publicly avow to you, Lord of heaven and earth," that the praise that we're giving is the consecrated commitment, and that consecration happens here as we enter into Christ's consecration to the Father. I've always loved Psalm 43, which the priest prays at the beginning of the extraordinary form of the Mass, "In tribut altare Dei, relativicat juventutem meam." I will go to the altar of God, to the God who rejuvenates me with joy. This is where we become more childlike and are able to receive what God gives with incredible joy. And St. Bonaventure focused on this in his beautiful prayer after Mass, which the Church still recommends, and you'll find it in the back of the Missal. His Transfige. I'll just at the end show how he approaches with this childlike receptivity to what God is doing. "May my heart ever hunger after and feed upon you, whom the angels desire to look upon. May my inmost soul be filled with the sweetness of your savor. May it thirst for you, the fountain of life, the fountain of wisdom and knowledge, the fountain of eternal light, the torrent of pleasure, the fullness of the house of God. May it ever compass you, seek you, find you, run to you, come to you, meditate on you, speak of you, and do all for the praise and glory of your name. With humility and discretion, love and delight, ease and affection, and perseverance to the end. And be yours alone, ever my hope, my confidence, my riches, my delight, my pleasure, joy, rest, tranquility, peace, sweetness, food, refreshment, refuge, help, wisdom, portion, possession, treasure, in whom may my mind and my heart be ever fixed in firm and rooted immovably. It was all gimme, 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 gimme. What you yourself will to give me. And the only thing I ask is the grace to be able to receive it as I ought. Together with St. Bonaventure and all the saints, we rejoice to be here. We gratefully renew our consecration to God. We praise Him for His gracious will. We ask Him for all the graces we need, like trusting children. Spend our lives as living, loving commentaries of that holy grace and holy will, just like the great doctor whom we celebrate today. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.